It's playoff weekend, Colin, in NASCAR. Now, it's very different because in usual for sports fans and team sports, playoffs is the teams left in it. In NASCAR, obviously, it would be weird, although I guess it would probably be cool if they only had four cars on the track, although I'm not sure how exciting that would be. But there's only four cars left for a shot at the title. Denny Hamlin won his way in last weekend. Then you've got Harvick, Truex Jr., and Kyle Busch.
Yep.
So now Busch, I think, is the only one who qualified on points. The other three won in the round of eight. So does that make Busch the favorite in your mind, or what does that matter at all?
If you're gambling, yeah, it does matter. But there's a lot of speculation out there and a lot of discussion on the fact that, you know, Kyle had such a great regular quote-unquote regular season that, you know, he's almost due. He's an underdog at this point. He hasn't won in the playoffs. He hasn't won, you know, in quite some time. And it's a long streak for him not to get to victory lane. So, you know, in that regard, a lot of people are holding him as the favorite. The other argument is, you know, Denny Hamlin, you know, was under all the pressure, was under, you know, you have to win or you're not going to make it. And his team performed, you know, Martin Truex Jr., their team has performed. But all three of those drivers are part of the same Joe Gibbs stable. They're the same team. They've got, you know, basically the same stuff. They know what everyone's setup is. So
is that an advantage? Will they play that, do you feel, in this race?
I don't think they'll play one team against the other. They can't pick a favorite because you can't say to...
No, I'm not pick each other, not internally, but say, hey, us three, we're going to ensure that one of us wins. And, you know, like, I don't know if... Let's say one of them's leading. Are they all suddenly going to be boxing out the other guy? You know what I mean?
I don't see any of those guys running defense for sure.
Okay.
They're going to throw everything that they have at the wall to see what sticks. The beautiful thing about having a multi-car system like that and knowing it is really knowing what the other guys are going to run. They have open exchange of information. No teammate holds back information. They sit as engineers and crew chiefs and have full debriefs. They talk about how they're going to set their cars up. The cars won't be set up identically because each driver has their own, you know, personal style. Some guys are happier with, you know, having their car push. Some drivers are happier with their car loose. And then, you know, there's strategy based on whether you think there's going to be lots of short runs where you're not going to be doing, you know, a lot of wear and tear on your tires and, you know, tire pressures aren't going to come up. Definitely going to be interesting. You know, I mean, I really don't see Kevin Harvick taking it. The lone Chevy sitting, or pardon me, he drives a Ford now. You know, he's going to really be on his own. But that's where it can kind of work against the multi-car team, is Kevin has three teammates that they can run interference against the other guys who are really trying to fight for themselves.
Has that happened in the final weekend before?
During the playoffs, not so much, but there was an incident a couple of years ago where it was Clint Bowyer, he was racing for Michael Waltrip. He needed a really obscure set of circumstances for him to make it. His teammate happened to spin out at just the right time to cause the caution to allow him to get back on the lead lap and blah, blah, blah. And it turned into a bit of a controversy. Controversy was no stranger to Michael Waltrip. He was also caught using a fuel enhancement agent during the Daytona 500, which apparently all the teams used to do, but they used to line their carburetor with a product similar to Sterno. So it's a combustion enhancement. So they would line the inside of the carburetor or the intake with this stuff. As the air would come in, it would mix with the fuel and everyone, you'd get that little bit more power, and then it would dissolve. It would evaporate. So when they inspected after you were done, there was no trace of it. They basically, somebody really screwed up. It was like hair gel inside of the thing. They took a look like, guys, are you serious? And it was a mega penalty, and like, it was really, really bad. But Michael Waltrip Racing doesn't exist anymore, and there's a lot of reason why.
Got the Cantor Gray support of the Colin Livesworth. Colin, F1 this weekend, it seems like with many of the championships already decided, this one could come down to some weather. And how would that affect the race because of the way the racetrack sets up?
Yeah, I mean, they're really, obviously the championships are over. Constructors is Mercedes. Their driver won. So really, there's kind of two mindsets at this point of the year. You throw everything you got and just go for race wins because at this point, the points don't really matter. You know, Ferrari and Red Bull are kind of jostling for P2 in the constructors and where they want to finish with their drivers, but Now you've got really nothing to lose. But yeah, tomorrow it's supposed to be crazy rain. So there's two practice sessions tomorrow in Brazil. You can't not run during the practice sessions. You have to go out. You still have to throw your car on track and kind of get a feel, even in the rain, even if the race is supposed to be dry, because you have to, you know, make sure your car's mechanically sound. If there's any rain at all on the weekend, Saturday is one more practice session and qualifying. If it's wet at all, there's really only two drivers that'll be in contention, Max Verstappen from Red Bull and Lewis Hamilton. And really, it'll be Hamilton. I think he would walk away from it. You know, that would be in qualifying. Sunday's supposed to be dry, but it'll be an interesting day for sure.
So these two guys, Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, are the guys that can perform best on the wet track compared to other people?
Yeah.
And is that clear lead?
It's not. They could potentially, realistically, they could lap the field, those two. They're so brave, but they have such good car control and such good feel that, yeah, they'll be in a class on their own.
So let's assume those guys qualify one and two. It's just up to them who wins or loses on Saturday, because it's a hard track to pass on?
Correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is not. It wouldn't matter what track they're on. Those two guys they seem to be in their own league when it comes to wet weather racing. I mean, it's funny. We go through the same thing in go-karts. Like, we've got guys who are crazy quick. They could be a second a lap faster than me on a dry track. When we get to the wet, first of all, having a bit more, you know, mass, like I have, you know, I carry a lot muscle on my frame.
On the arm.
When it comes to the wet, though, I can run these guys down, because it's just, you're not so determined on being able to roll speed in. It's more about feel. It's more about, you know, you're way closer to the edge of control. You're way closer to losing traction in the wet than you are, and it's just a different mindset.
So you almost have to take more risks with a wet track than you do on a dry track to get to where you need to do. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know that I would say risk, but you really have to push closer to the edge of traction and closer to the edge of losing control. You know, with the wet, what's really, it's the only situation where I can watch an Indy car in the wet, or I can watch a Formula One car in the wet, and I can really feel what that car is all about. You know, I'm not naive enough to think, you know, what we do in a go-kart compares to what they do in the dry. But in the wet, there's little subtleties that I see when a guy's driving down the straightaway, and all of a sudden you'll see the back end kick out, because you'll actually break traction in a puddle, and that's a feeling I know super well in the kart. But you're perpetually losing control. You go into a corner, you know, I can show you video where we set up for a corner, I'll turn the wheel almost, you know, 90 degrees or even 180 degrees, and the kart just drive straight and it drives straight and it drives straight, and then at the last second it just decides to go, and you just have to know where that is. And driving off the corner, you're going to spin the rears, you're going to always have to hang on to it, trying to figure out what that balance is, and, you know, being comfortable with an out of control or a less than conventional car. That's what it comes down to for these guys.
Cantor Race Report, joined by Colin Livingston. Colin, the Macau Grand Prix organizers have changed a barrier there. And how did, you know, there was a crash last year with a race car. How much time and thought is put into that? The organizers say, we need to address this significantly.
Yeah, I mean, Macau is a temporary street course. So they don't get the benefit of being able to work on things once they take the racing equipment out. I think they took the last year. I mean, I think a lot of people who watch what happens will remember that, you know, she basically, you know, had a brake issue, got forced into a fence, then back onto the track, launched up, and then, you know, at, you know, 220 or 230 kilometers an hour, got launched into a fence. Sophie, and for the life of me now, I can't think of her last name. Sophia. Thankfully, she's okay. She will be racing again this weekend in Formula 3. You know, whether this is going...
Flourish, I think. Is that her name?
Flourish. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Whether, you know, this situation will present itself or not again is, you know, very, very improbable. But, you know, they're making the moves to try and prevent that, and that's always commendable.
So, that quickly, who are you taking this weekend to win in NASCAR?
My I would love to see Truex Jr. You know, take it. I'm a fan of his. Again, he's got a Canadian crew chief with Cole Pearn. At that same token, I kind of have the gut feeling that Busch is going to come out and do it. And again, this is kind of a we still have our connection with Kyle Busch Motorsports from the summer. We got to know all their guys on the truck side. So those would be my two. I mean, you can't. The randomness of this event means you can't count anyone out. They all have a shot at it. They're all in great equipment. They're all fantastic drivers. Truex would be my number one, but I really think Busch is going to do it.
Busch is going to do it. Also, Magic of Lights with a racing theme down at Castrol Motor Speedway. It begins on November 22nd, goes till January 4th. It benefits Santa's Anonymous and the Canadian Tire Jumpstart program. It's $25 a car. You can also, they do limos, there's buses, there's a horsepower hayride and everything, and they set up the whole track, and it's all lights. It's kind of like a racetrack version of Candy Cane Lane, I guess, to explain to people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, most people love seeing the Christmas lights. This is your chance to get out, actually drive on some of the racetracks, part of the drag strip, part of the road course. I know that Rob and Kimberly have been working on it, literally since the last day the track was open, to get all the displays out, to make sure they're working, to get everything, ready to accommodate the traffic. Super worthy cause. I mean, hats off to the Reeveses. They do so much for the community. Highly encourage people to come out. It's a great way to spend some time. We've got some great weather coming up, so now would be a great time to get out there.
Yeah, so once again, that runs from the 22nd of November through until January 4th down at Castrol Motor Speedway, and helps out Santa's Anonymous and Canadian Tire Jumpstart. Colin, as always, we appreciate your time in the race report. Thanks.
You bet.
That's Colin Livingston.